Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to today's program. And the theme today will be the evolution of humanity. This is a huge subject, so this is really only going to be a taste. And if you'd like more information, of course, check out the books and or at least the website. I'll be beginning with an article from Benjamin Creme's master with the title Evolution versus Creationism. Many people believe, or affect to believe, that this world as it stands today is not more than 5,000 years old, that man and all the creatures of the animal kingdom and the rocks of the mineral kingdom were created in a few days, fully fledged and finished in all aspects. They hold that evolution is a myth, that the Christian Bible account of creation is literally true and correct. To accept such a theory, it is necessary to close one's eyes to science in general and to the sciences of geology, anthropology, paleontology, and archaeology in particular. It is indeed true to say that there was a time when men did not walk the earth, when dinosaurs, gigantic in size, roamed and ruled instead. It is also true that, according to our reckoning, man's history is infinitely older than today's science believes. By today's reckoning, humanity is approximately 5 or 6 million years old at the most. By our science and tradition, however, early animal man had reached the point when individualization became possible and the sons of mind began their long journey of evolution. It has taken man 18.5 million years to reach the level of today. How then is it possible for intelligent, educated creationists to hold against the evidence of science what seems to be a ludicrous concept? The answer lies in the fact that the evolutionists and the creationists are really arguing at cross purposes. Both, in their limited way, are right. Modern scientists, looking objectively at the findings of Darwin, have accumulated a wealth of evidence for the case of evolution, a long, slow development of men from animal ancestors, in particular by the development of mind. The creationists look to the Christian Bible as their guide, ignoring the fact that the Bible was written by hundreds of people over hundreds of years, that it is written in symbolic language and is meant to be symbolic rather than factual. The creationist is at pains to emphasize that man was made by God in God's own image and so owes nothing to evolution. To such, Darwin and those who follow him are missing the point about man, that he is a spiritual being of divine heritage. And if he does not always behave as God's creation, he has been corrupted by Satan. Can these two diametrically opposed views be bridged and expanded at the same time? from our point of understanding, the scientists of today, the evolutionists, are undoubtedly correct in their analysis of man's development from the animal kingdom. We owe our physical bodies to the animal kingdom. That, however, does not make us animals. Darwin and those who correctly followed his thought describes only the outer physical development of man, largely ignoring that we are all engaged in the development of consciousness. The human body has all but reached its completeness. There remains little further to be achieved. From the standpoint of consciousness, however, man has scarcely taken the first steps towards a flowering which will prove that man is indeed divine, a soul in incarnation. One day, the fact of the soul will be proved by science and so become generally accepted, and the old dichotomy will be healed. That article was initially published in the December 2008 issue of Share International magazine. And now for a fairly long quote from Benjamin Cram, and this is from the book The Art of Living. And if you are at all interested in purchasing a book, and in particular interested in the subject of humanity's evolution, then The Art of Living would be quite a good one to look at, as it's got a whole lengthy chapter on the subject. So this is just an excerpt from that chapter, and it begins as follows. The moment our soul sees that we are ready to begin to express somewhat its perfection, to bring the qualities of the soul, truth, beauty, intelligence, the longing for perfection itself, into the incarnational process, the true evolution of the man or woman begins. The time when that happens in each individual case determines our point in evolution. Through countless incarnations, the soul seeks to express its divine nature in time and space, through successive personalities, through bodies, physical, emotional, and mental, sometimes as a man, sometimes as a woman. It carries out this desire, this longing to replicate its nature and quality in a physical counterpart. The soul endows its reflection with the means of evolution to its own perfection. In this way, the plan of God works out. Millions of people do not know that there is a plan. That is an unfortunate state of affairs. I think it is probably the most unfortunate, second to the almost total ignorance that we are souls. The first thing, the first reality, it seems to me, that everyone should be taught is the human constitution, that we are essentially spiritual in nature, and that that divinity or spirit reflects itself at a somewhat lower vibration as the human soul, and that the soul reflects itself on the physical plane as a man or woman. Evolution takes place according to a plan. The masters of our spiritual hierarchy are the custodians of this plan. If everyone in the world knew that, or could even take it as a hypothesis, the world would be extraordinarily different. Because people do not know that there is a plan, they have no idea where they are heading. They are driven along by the great magnet of evolution. And the result is they have really no free will. They are simply driven by circumstance, and they react to the circumstance, of course, from the point of evolution that they have reached. What is needed, I would say probably above everything else, is a re-education of humanity so that we know that evolution proceeds according to a plan, and that we can take part in that plan. We can become conscious and work according to the plan. The chaos, aggression and war, the conflict and strife are the result of ignorance of the fact of the plan and its nature. Therefore, we do not know how to live. There are great laws governing this process of evolution, and the soul provides its vehicle with the means to evolve. The key to this development is called aspiration. Everything that evolves, from a grain of sand up to the most evolved being you could imagine, the most exalted angel or avatar you could visualize, has reached that point as a result of aspiration. There was a time when life lived in the sea. The seas carried the vast majority of the life of this planet. On the land areas, there were the beginnings of the vegetable kingdom, and some sea creatures came out of the sea onto land. It must have been an extraordinary experience for the first fish or reptiles that came out of the sea onto the relatively drier land. They had to learn to breathe and start moving in a different way. They had to learn to walk, clumsily at first, and then with great facility until they could run faster than a horse runs today. This did not happen by chance, but as a result of aspiration. It is difficult to imagine the aspiration of a sea creature to go onto the land, and yet, without aspiration, it would never have happened. No change takes place without the aspiration for change. A change of that nature, from living in the sea to living on the land, is momentous. It was obeying an inner will, an aspiration for change, for betterment, for a higher state, for a perfection as yet undreamed of but felt as a possibility. We evolve in exactly the same way. Through aspiration, we have our idealism. We react to the energies which are sent into the world by the hierarchy of masters, who are the custodians of the plan, and in response, we aspire to change. We have a vision of a different and better, a more perfect state, whether that is political, economic, social, or scientific, cultural, or whatever. We evolve through this capacity to envisage something better, something closer to the perfection that we instinctively know is possible. We instinctively know what is in the mind of the Logos because we are fundamentally souls, exact reflections of the Logos, whom we call God, the Logos of planet Earth, the heavenly man whose idea we are. In this way, we evolve, create new conditions. We can jump out of the sea and get used to living on dry land. So that excerpt, again, was from The Art of Living. And in fact, there's a short quote just at the end of this particular piece that goes as follows. The key to this development is aspiration. Indwelling in all men is the desire for perfection and the urge to express the good, the beautiful and the true, the attributes of the soul. No one, however faltering in action, is bereft of this desire for betterment, however expressed. That came from the Master's article titled The Pairs of Opposites. Back to Mr. Krem, and this is a shorter quote from his book, The Ageless Wisdom Teaching, and that's one of the free-to-download books that you can find on the website. The question that is asked here is, evolution is a term that most of us tend to associate with Darwin and physical change. In esotericism, are you talking about evolution in a bigger context? And Mr. Krem's reply, I'm talking about the evolution of consciousness. We take for granted that Charles Darwin has shown the evolution of the form aspect of nature, the physical body of the animal kingdom, out of which grew the human kingdom. The human being is not simply an animal, but is the point where spirit and matter meet. The individualized human soul has taken incarnation 18.5 million years ago, according to the teaching, to enable a higher aspect to manifest. Each kingdom grows out of the kingdom below it. First is the mineral kingdom, the densest. From that grew the vegetable kingdom. From the vegetable grew the animal kingdom. from the animal kingdom has grown the human kingdom. We owe our body to the animal kingdom. Out of the human kingdom has been growing another kingdom, which we do not even recognize unless we are esotericists, and that's called the spiritual kingdom, made up of the masters and initiates. The spiritual kingdom, or also called the kingdom of souls, is the kingdom immediately above the human kingdom. You enter it through the human kingdom. As you evolve to a point where the soul really begins to demonstrate itself through its reflection, the man or woman on the physical plane, you enter the spiritual kingdom through what's called the door of initiation. There are five doors through which you pass to become a master. All of the masters have achieved these five initiations. Eventually, everybody will become perfect in that same way. And here's another quote from the same book, The Ageless Wisdom Teaching. The soul magically creates a series of bodies through which it can eventually really demonstrate itself as a soul. At that point, we are well on the way towards the end of the evolutionary process. It takes literally hundreds of thousands of incarnations, but once that point is reached and the soul, looking at its reflection, the man or woman in incarnation, sees that it is beginning to respond to its, the soul's, quality and is becoming more divine, in other words, more unselfish, more altruistic, more concerned for other people and not just for the satisfaction of its own desires. It stimulates the vehicle and begins the process which ends the evolutionary journey, the process of initiation. Initiation has been brought into life to speed up the evolutionary process. It is not essential, we could evolve without it, but it would take millions and millions more years to get to the point where we are today. And there are five great planetary initiations to perfection. So I hope you found that an interesting taste on the subject of human evolution. As I said at the beginning, it's a huge subject and takes quite a bit of study, I'm sure, to fully grasp the concept and how it all proceeds. Anyway, we've got time for one more quote, and this is from Benjamin Krem's master's article titled The Pairs of Opposites. For long ages, the dominance of matter precludes a major expression of the soul. Evolution proceeds but slowly. When, at long last, the opposing poles of his nature are resolved, man realizes that the dichotomy is but seeming, the oppositions unreal. Then he sees that all is one, spirit and matter, but two aspects of one divine whole. The limitations of the past are nothing but illusion. Without the struggle of opposites and the friction which ensues, man's progress would be slow indeed. Friction is the fire which impels him on his way. Aspiration, the light which calls him ever upwards. Thus does man discard, in time, the limitations of matter, endowing it with the radiance of his spiritual truth. Man's task is to spiritualize matter and to bring the substance of the planet and every kingdom into a perfect reflection of the heavenly man whose body it is. The time is fast coming when his truth will prevail, his beauty radiate, and his good demonstrate for all to see. Thank you very much for listening. Check out the website share-international.org for more information. And wishing you all a lovely week.